Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, December 13th, 2012. That was Do Not Be Afraid from Vancouver area singer-songwriter Carolyn Aaron's Christmas and Irrational Season CD. It was in a tweet by Carolyn which led me to tonight's guest and topic. We Make Stuff Volume 1 is, according to the website, quote, a stunning book that will showcase 100 artists and innovators from Vancouver exploring the collision of faith and creativity. Tonight's guest, Fiona Mose, is one of the key editors of the collaborative project, and she's on the phone from Vancouver to talk about the project. Good evening, Fiona.
Good evening, Robert.
How are you doing? So just before we get into details about We Make Stuff, which I had a chance, by the way, I had a copy of it forwarded to me by David Vandes, and that is an absolutely phenomenal-looking book.
Thank you.
It's just incredible. So, but before we get into the details now, let's give our listeners a little bit of information about you. You began as a painter. You developed a passion for different mediums, from photography to print media to embroidery. What got you started originally as a painter?
You know what? It's one of those things that I always just did. More of, you know, growing up in school, elementary, high school, after just on the side. And I didn't really quite recognize, I guess, the importance of it until I didn't paint for a year. Actually, for my first year of university, I moved out to Halifax, and I was studying international development and playing volleyball for Dalhousie University. And for the first time in my life, I wasn't painting. And it was that absence of creating that I realized how much of an importance it was to my identity. So I guess the first time I can really remember just painting or drawing was actually during church and listening to the sermon and drawing the people around me to help me listen.
Well, and how did you get from move from painting then to the different things that you do, photography, print media, embroidery? How did you sort of move into those areas as well?
I think it was a combination of influences. I did actually do my Bachelor of Fine Arts, so I studied art, and I was required to do three different majors within that, where I studied at University of Fraser Valley in Abbotsford. Mm-hmm. And so I chose painting and drawing, photography, and print media. So three of those three different courses of study, they started to influence my painting, which I think is my main creative output. The embroidery came into the picture actually because my aunt, who was an artist, gave me just this box of embroidery thread one time when I was out visiting her. And I just couldn't stop thinking about it. And I just, you know, I just react to material that way. And I just thought to myself, this is just an incredible way to make line that's colorful and has texture. Mm-hmm. And so it literally wove itself into my painting that way.
Wow. Looking at this, and you talked about your studies and that, was there anyone or anybody that kind of influenced you along the way as an artist?
Again, I think it was a few influences, and I mean, I mentioned it in this book, is I just feel incredibly supported and encouraged just by the community that I was a part of and am a part of, just my family and my friends and my church community. But particularly, I had an amazing art teacher in high school. And it sounds a little cliche, but I really did. And she's gone above and beyond to continue to support me and mentor me, both in my practice as an artist, but I'm also a teacher now. Mm-hmm. And just, her name is Sue Content. And, you know, just asking good questions and coming to gallery openings and sitting down and having a cup of tea and asking questions about how faith can be integrated and all that. And in terms of aesthetics, I definitely would say my aunt, who was an artist as well, as I mentioned.
Mm-hmm. I want to pick up on a couple of things that you mentioned there. One is the teaching and the other is integrating faith into your art. How important is it for you as a teacher to take the mentoring and the sharing that you have had and pass that on to younger artists, to students that are you know, sort of exploring and trying to discover, you know, is this an area that I want to explore?
Mm-hmm. Great question. You know, I've given that a lot of thought, and I just feel incredibly blessed by how much people have mentored me and passed things down to me, that I just kind of feel like I'm a vessel to pass that on to a younger generation. I'm currently teaching middle school, so I'm teaching kids who are quite young, grade 6, 7, and 8. Mm-hmm. And they're just so excited to try all these projects and create things. They've never tried watercolor before. But in terms of integrating the faith, I have the amazing opportunity of teaching at a Christian school where I can, you know, ask the questions about, okay, what is it about creativity and in God's nature? You know, He's the creator, and so I get to have those conversations. I mean, they're not super theological, and I think as kids move through, you know, you can plant those seeds and get them asking, okay, is this a way that I've been gifted to honor God or worship mm-hmm. God or serve in the community that God has placed me? And it's really neat, especially when you get 11, 12-year-olds creating art that reflects their faith.
Well, is there a significance or an importance when you're looking at the middle school ages? Because that's when they're starting to formulate, you know, and it's starting to be told to start looking at their future, you know, what they want to be when they become adults in terms of career choices and that. Is that a significant time for you as an artist and as an art teacher to help craft and mold those students that are really looking towards the arts? Because it's around that time, too, where we've often seen people have had a creative ability and have then been told, oh, that's nice, you can do that, it's really cool, but you're going to have to do something else where you can earn a living. And you know, don't worry about being an artist. Is that something that you find is significant as you're teaching these kids?
Yeah, that's definitely something that I'm aware of. I mean, I think it's really important to encourage just their enthusiasm, and you know, they are allowed to dream. I mean, we all are. But to show them, okay, what is an actual career that you could make out of this? And I have, I mean, through this book and prior, some good connections of people who are creative and have a career out of those things. And so mm-hmm. try to, you know, bring them into my conversations or into my lessons and say, hey, look, you know, this person's an architect, or this person, you know, is a musician and their song is on the radio. Like, here we go. Let's listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my grade sixers, actually, she had a great question the other day. We were studying Georgia O'Keeffe, and she asked me, was Georgia O'Keeffe a Christian? And I just, you know, it kind of caught me off guard in a good way. And I said, you know what, I don't know, but we were just looking and studying at how she looked at creation and specifically flowers and focused in and just appreciated the intricate beauty of God's creation, right? But I said, sometimes people can appreciate that and they're not necessarily Christians, but it could be a way that God works through that. And so we had this really interesting conversation with an 11-year-old about that, and I was challenged through that.
Wow.
But she kind of went home and thought about it and got excited about it and came back and did three more paintings above and beyond what was required. So I guess I trailed off from that question, but
cool.
Like, keep them dreaming and excited.
Good. Well, what we need to do is take a quick break, and then we're going to continue our conversation with Fiona Mose, and we're actually going to look at how we make stuff came to be and some details on the book. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Come and See from Christmas and Irrational Season by Carolyn Ahrens. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Fiona Mose. Fiona, we've mentioned a couple of times the book We Make Stuff, Volume 1. I'm assuming that means that maybe there'll be a Volume 2 and a Volume 3 somewhere down the road.
Yeah, we're excited about just the enthusiasm and the great feedback we've been having. So we've been having a discussion about different explorations and where it might lead, for sure.
Now, how did this whole thing get started? How did the whole project get going?
You know, that's a great question, and I'm going to try my best to answer that because I was not there at the beginning. The vision actually came through David Van Dess, our senior editor and publisher. He's actually a filmmaker by trade, and his wife, Anna, actually had a vision or a dream about 8 years ago, and she saw the letters Holy Sacrifice in magazine cutout letters, and Anna really felt that this was for her husband, David. And David kind of took it to prayer and spent 8 years of just praying and thinking about what did this mean, and just really felt that there was this need for the creative community to be connected and that there was a voice for Christian creatives to be heard. Mm-hmm. Both in amongst themselves and in the church. And so last New Year's Eve, 2011, he just really felt on his heart, you know, go live, put the call out, and really felt like it needed to be something tangible, like a book. So he did a little video and posted it on Facebook, and then a Facebook group formed, and then put the call out to different selecting editors, and then the submission started coming in and kind of went with that.
Right. Well, how did you get involved?
I actually was first involved as one of the selected artists. I wanted to learn more about the project after submitting kind of my images and my work. So I sat down with David one sunny summer afternoon in August, and at the end of our conversation, he basically asked if I wanted to join the team as an editor. And so I said, okay, I need to think about it for a week and pray about it. And then I really felt like it was something that I could be a part of. So I accepted his offer, and we started building the book alongside Mike, our amazing graphic designer. Mm-hmm. So that was just in August, and we just released at the end of November.
Well, and you've been in the midst of, and in fact, one of the reasons you and I are talking is because David is so busy right now with book launches and getting the word out and letting people know about this thing that it's just incredible. Yeah. One of the things I'm looking at, we keep talking about this book, can you give our listeners sort of a visual idea? I've had a chance to look at it, and it's just incredible. I'm looking at your page where you've got the animal alphabet, the illustrations, and that's just, you know, that and some of the artwork and the stories that are in here are just really, really inspiring and encouraging. But can you give our listeners a visual idea of what We Make Stuff is?
Okay, it's really too bad. I mean, it's great that you have the ebook, but the actual copy, I mean, we have a soft cover and a hard cover, and it's 9 inches by 9 inches. Square, so when you open it up, it's this big panorama. And basically, it is a double-page spread for each artist. So there's 100 artists and innovators from the Vancouver area who explore the collision of faith and creativity. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's a visual artist. We've got inventors, engineers, architects, designers, filmmakers, dancers, entrepreneurs, chefs, writers, you name it. And so each page for each artist, we talked about and selected images that we felt kind of best represented or illustrated what they were talking about, but also their work or mm-hmm. their creative output. So it's a combination of text and images that is different for each artist, basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, and some of the artists are more of an interview style, for instance, who else do we have? Ron Reed, the founder of Pacific Theater. David Squires, the head dean of the arts at Trinity Western. They mm-hmm. all have more text.
Yeah.
So it varies from artist to artist.
Yeah, it's just absolutely phenomenal. Now you said there's 100. Why 100? Why did you use that particular number as a number of creatives that you were going to feature?
You know, that's a good question. And actually, when you sent it to me to prep for this interview, I thought about that, and I thought to myself, I think we had that conversation, but I wasn't sure. So I emailed David, and he got back to me this morning, and he said, you know what, I wasn't sure. It was kind of one of those things that he just kind of, like, okay, 100, and it sat with him, and the more he thought about it, and the more he prayed about it, it just felt right. And for marketing purposes, and for whole numbers, and for design, it worked really well.
Yeah. Well, were there 100 submissions, or were there even more submissions than that came in?
You know, the word with the submissions, I mean, that's the word we used, but it wasn't like an open call to put out artists. It's actually, we had a team of 16 kind of editors, selection editors, mm-hmm. Who are more creative community facilitators, I would say, in the Vancouver area. And they actually each selected people and put names forward. So the submissions were based on friendships and connections. So definitely there were so many important people left out. I mean, we have a list. I mean, enough to do in a volume 2 right now, if I'm perfectly honest, of people who were left out. So it's definitely a challenge. But the connections in 100 artists are based on friendships and that kind of setup, I guess you mm-hmm. could say.
Looking at this, and I think, you know, often, especially people from the outside the artistic community, might have been surprised to know that there were 100 people that are involved in creative activities. And like you say, it's, you know, engineers, designers, architects. You had someone who creates purses, you know, all of these different things. Were you surprised at the numbers that you were able to pull together? Or you know... Are you surprised that there's even more than that? You've got, like you said, you've got enough for a second volume.
You know, I had my suspicions, But it was pretty incredible to see the list. And as we were going through, you know, more names kind of came up. And I mean, Mike, our designer, David, the senior editor, and I, we all come from different areas and different communities. And so it was really interesting to see the connections that we had that overlapped. Like, oh, you know him too, or you know her too? That's really interesting. But also, hey, there's this person that I really think should be in the book. Or, you know, so it was just affirming, and it's almost, yeah, it was just really affirming, I guess you could say, and uplifting. So I guess for me personally, it wasn't that big of a surprise, but the excitement is definitely great.
Well, one of the things I think we find is, as artists, we tend to do our art on our own. I'm a writer as well as a broadcaster, and it's just me in front of the computer trying to get words up on the screen. And yet, when all of a sudden we see something like We Make Stuff, and here's this whole community of people out there who are in their own way and in their own calling are doing creative stuff, that it suddenly becomes this encouragement. Is that something that you found as you were working through it and suddenly recognizing the depth and the breadth of the community in Vancouver?
Yeah. I mean, as I was reading, I did a lot of the editorial in terms of the text, and then we would come back and talk together. And it was incredible. I mean, I'm just starting out in my artistic, you know, career, if you want to call it that generously. And it was amazing to hear just the words and the wisdom and the voice of people who have been working in creative fields for, you know, 30, 40 years, and just the advice they had and just the place that they spoke of, and specifically what you're talking about, where as creative people we tend to create on our own, and it can be pretty isolating. And so to have, I guess you could call it, an artist collective that's emerging to support one another is pretty incredible, I would say. And it balances out, you know, those long hours you spend typing behind your computer screen.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, what we need to do is we need to take a final break. And after that, we'll finish our conversation with We Make Stuff's Fiona Mose. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
Daddy took a photograph in 1923. She was just a little baby laying by the Christmas tree. And her mama knew she was way too small to remember very much at all. And so she made sure to write these words on the back of that black and white. This is my first Christmas. First time to hear the choir sing. She was raising her own babies in the winter of 44, trying to make their Christmas merry while their daddy fought the Second World War. And she slipped into the chapel on Christmas Eve. Something holy happened when the preacher preached. She went forward and she prayed. She said,
welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to My First Christmas from Carolyn Aaron's Christmas and Irrational Season CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with artist and one of the collaborative creators of the We Make Stuff book, Fiona Mose. Fiona, what's been the reaction? The book has been out there now for a few weeks. What's been the reaction to the book?
It's been pretty incredible. It's kind of blown us all out of the way, actually. Really great feedback. People are just buying them at the book launch tour. I mean, we pre-ordered, I think, 700 soft covers.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have, 100 hardcover limited edition pre-ordered as well. And so people just keep coming up to me and saying, oh, you know, it's really incredible that this artist said, or I'm just really excited about that. And it's really neat to watch as someone who's been so closely involved in the project to step back and see people who are viewing the book for the first time. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are saying, I felt that, and it's just so great to hear someone say that. And in fact, my grandfather, my opa, I'm Dutch, went to one of the book launch events, and unfortunately I wasn't able to be there, and he sent me an email the next morning and just said, you know, it was so incredibly encouraging to see that and to see people of all different generations. My grandfather's in his 70s, and I mean, a lot of the people in the book, I mean, a good number of them are quite young, as in under 30. And he's like, now I have an idea. And so we had this conversation about an idea that was sparked by that.
Mm-hmm.
Where I know someone who is a worship leader at a church and just was really encouraged by some of the things, for instance, that some of the musicians were saying.
Wow.
So it's pretty, exciting, I think.
How can people get, and I know this is for the, a lot of this is being geared in the Vancouver area, but if people are interested in just knowing what's going on in the arts area across the country, how can people get more information about We Make Stuff?
For anyone, you can order the book online at www.wemakestuff.ca, or you can just go there and see more information. That's not only where you can order the book, but there's a little promo video you can see. There's little posts from different artists, or you can check us out. We have a Facebook page, basically, it keeps being updated.
Great. Well, Fiona, thanks for your time tonight.
Thank you, Robert.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection today. Thank you to my guest, Fiona Mose. And be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selaw Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.